Blog Talk Radio.
I tell you,
there's a lady in the man's bathroom. Look at that. There is a woman in the man's gown right here in Baltimore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pro Wrestling Flashback. I am Sinbad, and I am joined by Katrere, like I am every single week. This is a special 1 p.m. Central Time edition on a Thursday, because there was some interesting, I had an interesting night on Tuesday night, Katrere.
Did you?
Yes, I did. Well, see, I have a, I got the Samsung Epic 4G, and I love it. I love it. It's like the best phone I've ever had. But I got it 2 months ago, and for some reason, out of nowhere, it started just freaking out. So apparently it's not the best phone I've ever had. So I took it to Best Buy because they told me if I signed up for the whatever for the phone, that if anything happened to it, I'd have to bring it back and they'd give me a new one. Well, apparently that guy lied to me because I brought it there. They're like, yeah, we have to send it out. Here, we'll give you a loaner phone. But we don't have one. You have to drive to another store. So I drive like 40 minutes. Yeah, a loaner phone, okay?
Like a car.
Yes, I know. Yes. So then I drive the 40 minutes, okay, to get there. And then they have loaner phones. So I send my phone out, and they're like, oh, yeah, we forgot. They must have not told you. You have to pay a $150 deposit on this shitty phone that we're going to give you. Oh, okay, sure, you know. No problem there. I don't mind, you know, forking out another $150. So now I have this crappy phone that I had to, you know, pay a deposit on, and I was just not pleased. And that all happened, you know, within an hour before the show started, because I was like, I was trying to charge my phone for the show, and it wouldn't take a charge. I was like, what am I going to do? So that's what happened, and that's why we're recording on 1 p.m. on a Thursday. All right.
You're lucky I quit drinking, because I'm usually sacked out about this time every day.
Oh, man. Oh, hang on. You quit drinking?
Sure.
Oh.
You haven't seen any posts on the board lately, have you?
No, I definitely have not. I did not know that you had quit drinking. That's some exciting news, man. Congratulations.
Yeah. I probably fall off every now and then, but that's okay. You know.
Yeah, whatever. It's all good.
Whatever, it happens.
Everybody does, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so we had just had Fall Brawl happen when we left off. We're going to try finishing off the year, everybody. We're going to see if we can do this.
Okay.
So let's see if we can do it. All right, so Nitro the next night, they had Rey Mysterio wrestle Hoovy, and to open the show. And I always liked when they did this. I always liked when they did the Cruiserweight openers, because it always started the show off like with a little bit of excitement. And of course
they went around nine. This, I vaguely remember this match, but I remember it being a pretty awesome match.
Yes, yes. I know that during the match they talked about that the NWO would have their demands, and because they won War Games, so they won these demands, and so they would give their demands very soon. Shivani announced.
Yeah, Bischoff had said that, I guess Ted DiBiase, somebody came to him before the War Games match and said, if you don't agree to these demands, then we're not going out for the match. So he kind of had to agree to them. And they won the match. So that's why they caved into these demands that they had.
It's smart, like, how they built this puzzle up to what it eventually becomes, because no one knew. No one knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I love that. I absolutely love that, like, how, you know, they went about that. And just real fast, I wanted to plug, don't forget to go to superfriendsuniverse.com. That is our host site. You know, there's a bunch of great shows on there, including this one. So any of the shows that you've missed of this, this show, or, you know, any of their shows, go ahead and check that out over there. All right, so let's continue on with this Nitro. They had DDP was still, like, he was starting to get over. He was starting to get over at this point, and He's still a heel, though. And it was very weird because he was a heel, but, like, he started to get like that on a much smaller scale. But that weird babyface reaction, like how Stone Cold was getting while he was a heel, how it was, you know, you'd see more people cheering him. And I don't know, it was very interesting. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and it didn't hurt that he had, like, a really hot finisher, which I think helped him a whole lot. He's kind of like, you know, how the DDT helped Jake Roberts. I think the Diamond Cutter did the same thing for DDP.
It was a very, very hot finisher. It was awesome, too. I mean, I remember thinking, like, just, I mean, they eventually overdid it, but I loved how they would always say, like, you know, he could hit it out of anywhere. And yes, I don't know. And throughout the show, like, there's these NWO fans that they keep showing on camera outside. And they're just there, like, you know, they're outside the arena. So apparently if you're an NWO fan, you can't afford a ticket to go inside. But they're just outside the arena, like, you know, selling T-shirts and stuff. It's very, very weird. It's a weird thing.
And it's probably one of the, I'd say one of the, I mean, Nick Stalson 316 would be the hottest selling T-shirt of all time, wouldn't you think?
It had to be. It had to be. Because I remember in high school, everybody had those shirts.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be red or black, red and black, or me, I would always wear the black and white because I was an OG NWO member. I never liked the red and black.
The NWO had the coolest shirt. WCW had nothing that was cool, like shirt-wise.
Yeah.
I don't recall anyone.
Nothing at all. we're never going to make it through 96. We might be recorded for 3 hours today, Couture. All right, the reason is because, like, the WCW shirts, like, I'll never forget very distinctly that the NWO had just this cool logo, just an NWO, you know? And, like, I thought it was awesome, you know, just that logo on there. And then at the same time, they had a Lex Luger shirt, okay? And it said Lex Luger, and it had, like, a full male body, Lex Luger's full body, wearing his little underwear tights, doing the torture rack on the shirt. Like, who the hell would want to wear that? Why would you want to wear that shirt?
Who would want to be seen in that?
Yes, exactly. It's just like, that's how the shirts were, you know. They were just, you know, embarrassing shirts. I don't know. It was awful. It was awful. But, all right, so also the show, the Mexican heavyweight champion Conan, which they still refer to him as this, beat Super Colo, and the only reason, like, this match was even remembered at all is because you saw Sean Waltman, who was the 1-2-3 kid, like, in the crowd.
Yeah.
And they didn't call him anything. He was just sitting in the crowd, you know. He was just there. Like, no one knew why he was there. It didn't make any sense why he was there.
Yeah, they just said that he used to be known as 1-2-3 kid in WWF.
Yes, that's all they said. Like, he was formerly known as the 1-2-3 kid. They had Brett Armstrong beat Hugh Morris, which was one of, like, still, I've always loved this finish where someone would do, like, their finishing move and then do, like, the lazy cover, you know,
and
where you kind of, like, rest your arms across. And then, like,
the crucifix.
They would, like, the crucifix roll up. I love that. Love that.
Yeah.
And so they had... another, this is another noteworthy match. It was Scott Norton and Randy Savage. And Randy Savage got DQ'd because he used a chair. And Nick Patrick comes out, because Nick Patrick's still the referee. You know, he's not like they assume that he's with the NWO, but he's not, and he's still a WCW referee. And Randy Savage punches him, which was like a big deal at the time because, you know, you don't hit a referee. So, like, the commentators really reacted to that. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, and also during this match, they made the note that Bischoff said that most of the top WCW guys will be in Japan next week for Nitro, so, which is kind of setting up, you know, NWO taking over next week. And I remember Heenan and Tanay were saying, why would you tell them that they're going to be over there in Japan? He said, well, they already know. It's no secret these guys are going to Japan, and, you know, so kind of set up for what's going to happen next week.
Yes, yes, which was awesome. Glacier makes his debut, and Glacier, they had these vignettes for Glacier, like, I mean, for a long time, even before the NWO showed up, I mean, there was a long time, many, many months, where, like, it would say, like, blood runs cold. And it was, like, almost like a Mortal Kombat type, like, thing. Like, they would show, you know, like, it seemed like someone fighting, like a... It seems like almost like
by the company does Mortal Kombat. I can't remember. I thought I heard something about that.
Oh, I'm not sure. I am not sure. I did not know that.
Because it was supposed to be the Sub-Zero character from, you know, from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, he looked. Yeah, he was. You know, it seemed like it was. He was supposed to be like Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
Well, he wrestles Big Bubba. And they just wrestled in, like, the blue light, the blue glacier light. Apparently,
oh,
glacier
yeah, I remember that.
Had his own lighting. He
like,
had his own
when,
lighting.
Like when Kane made his debut in 97.
Yes.
And he wrestled under the red lights for, like, a couple of months. It was terrible.
Yeah, just red lights there. You know, whatever, it's fine. Go ahead and just wrestle under lights. You know, who cares? I thought it was very funny. And, Flair and Anderson beat Jericho and Mark Bagwell. And it's so weird to think, like, at the beginning of Jericho's run in WCW, he was just, like, pretty much an underneath guy, you know? They didn't really treat him like, you know, like he was going to be a big deal at all, or not even, you know, like, even just as someone that's going to be some sort of champion. They treated him like Mark Bagwell. He's just like a nobody,
This was like a match where probably... Maybe Scotty Riggs was injured or something. Maybe he
yeah,
was
it had to be
match.
Something like that. And they just,
yeah.
just threw Jericho in there. And, like, after this, or it might have been during. Yeah, it was during. Sean Waltman, who's the 1-2-3 kid, he pushes a button. Like, he stands up and pushes a button, and a bunch of NWO flyers drop from the ceiling. I mean, thousands of them, just
yeah.
everywhere, and it was so awesome, so awesome. And that was just saying that he was the sixth member of the NWO, which was
yeah.
I was still
I thought
okay
he was
with
good
him being.
I thought he was a good fit.
Yes, he definitely was. He definitely was because they had no, you know, cruiserweight or a lightweight in the NWO yet.
And he could
so.
Take. He could do all the work, you know.
Yes. Yes, it was awesome. It was awesome. And they also showed the Waltman outside with the NWO, and they were using the audio that they used to trick Lex Luger the week before to think that he was, you know, a member of the NWO. And I loved it. I loved it. And...
They had Sting come out and cut a promo saying, you know, all these announcers and commentators and WCW, they thought that he had turned last week and he knew where all the cameras were stationed, so his back was always to the camera. He was talking to the audience but wasn't talking to the cameras, so you couldn't, like, see his face. So it's kind of like he's turning
yeah.
his back on them. And he just told WCW they could stick it, and that's when he walked out.
Yeah. He left. And it was so great because, I mean, this storyline that they're starting to build up, they like started planting the seeds for this, like the Starrcade the following year. I mean, they're starting, this is the beginning of the angle of a storyline that's going to go over a year. And no one could pull this off, you know. No one can make a storyline go that long.
Yeah.
Well, this is the seeds for that, and I really like that.
And the great thing about this was, you know, we saw Sting. How many times did Sting give Luger the benefit of the doubt this whole previous year?
Yes.
You know, and then Lex Luger doubts him once. I mean, can't give him the benefit
right
of
away.
The doubt once. Yeah. So
that's
it made sense for what he was doing.
No, it was so awesome. So awesome. And also they announced that the NWO has earned their own TV show by winning the War Games. And they also announced that 123 Kid is now known as Six, which is Six. So that's
They spelled it cool. SYXX. I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. And then the show ends with the NWO in their limo. They're all celebrating. They won, and, you know. And then next week on Nitro, the only major member of WCW, the only top WCW wrestler, would be Randy Savage at Nitro the next week.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was so funny because that's, like, so degrading to all the other wrestlers. You know what I mean? Everybody else there is just, they're nobody. They're not a top wrestler. Only Randy Savage.
Yeah, and well, when you look at some of the guys that were on the show, this was not a good Nitro, this next one. Or the lineup wasn't good. Some of the other stuff was good on it.
All right, so why don't you run us through this one?
Let's see. Hey, Kevin Sullivan, Conan beat Juventud and Brad Armstrong. Chris Jericho beat Mike Enos. Glacier beat Pat Tanaka. In a big shock, Public Enemy beat Harlem Heat to win the tag team titles. I wouldn't expect them that.
No one really expected that. It was very. I remember watching this Nitro, and I remember thinking like, well, the NWO get a title shot, like they had earned a title shot at the tag titles. So I was thinking, like, why would they not have them wrestle the Harlem Heat? Why would they have them wrestle the Public Enemy?
I was very
disappointed.
I think one of the reasons they did this is, like, I think this was coming off the WWF In Your House pay-per-view when the ECW guys showed up in the front row. And so they had gotten a little notoriety out of, like, Sandman Tommy Dreamer being in the front row of a ECW show. So they wanted to feature, like, former ECW guys winning the titles or something like that. I don't know. That's just what I heard. So.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Greg Valentine beat Randy Savage by DQ. I don't remember that match at all.
This is when the NWO came out and just beat the... This was when Randy Savage was getting the shit beat out of him every week.
Oh, that was so great.
I remember this because the Giant came out. He was like... going to be like, because they're taking over the show, going to be the announcer. He picked Randy Savage up over his shoulder, and he was walking up the steps, and I guess he stepped on the side of the steps because all of a sudden the steps toppled over and Randy Savage just fell off the Giant's shoulder, and he just took the worst bump on the concrete. Just fell. It was like one of those live moments, and he just took a tumble, and he just got him up and threw him back in the ring, and then they did some... I think this is where Vincent made his debut, right?
Yes, Vincent did make his debut on this Nitro because it was out of nowhere, too. It made no sense. I mean, honestly, like how they built it up, you know? Out of nowhere, he just showed up.
But with DiBiase there,
I mean,
it did make sense.
Well, no. I'm just saying, like, they made no big deal out of it. Like, you know, out of nowhere, he just started walking. He just came out, you know?
Well, in the end, it's still just Virgil, you know. Not that big of a deal anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Of course, they had to change his name to Vincent, which...
Yeah.
Everybody knows where that came from.
Well, the reason... I mean, I'm sure most people know this, but we might as well just explain it all, because we explain everything else. Virgil's the real name of Dusty Rhodes, and Vince McMahon did that kind of as a shot at Dusty Rhodes. Well, Vincent, of course, Vincent McMahon...
Yeah,
it's kind of the reverse. They also did that eventually when they called him Shane later. They called him Shane.
With the powers that be when Vince Russo was there.
Yeah, they call him Shane.
Before that, he was Curly Bill.
Curly Bill. I don't know who they're supposed to make fun of there.
I don't know. I think they just wanted a black guy as a cowboy.
Yes. Yeah. That's got to be it. All right, what do we get next?
Six defeated Hacksaw Duggan. This is kind of like Hogan's revenge for that promo that Duggan cut, you know, in that one Nitro.
Yeah.
Called him a great technical wrestler. So Six defeated Jim Duggan. And
I don't think it's Hogan's revenge. I think it's the fans' revenge on Jim Duggan for saying
this. Let's see, we got NWO Sting defeated Bo Ladue. I have no idea who that is.
I remember NWO Sting, and I just remember the crowd just shitting all over them because they love Sting. WWE fans love Sting, and a fake Sting. Oh, they were very, very irritated at this.
And Scott Hall
made
it on
a Nitro right here.
Scott Hall and Kevin Nash defeated High Voltage in the main event.
That was the main event of Nitro. Okay, so what I just said like a couple minutes ago about there being no main event or no big stars on Nitro, I take that back. There really weren't. There really were not. You know, there was. I mean, the Harlem Heat. I guess you could argue that they were big stars.
Yeah.
Kevin Sullivan, maybe. Greg Valentine, 10 years before.
Yeah.
That's it, though. Jim Duggan, maybe? I don't know. But, you know, that was it. That was the Nitro. That was it.
Yep.
That was it. So, we're heading towards Halloween Havoc. There's, like, a Nitro where, like, the next week, it opens up with Eric Bischoff. And he said that his only regret in WCW was hiring Hulk Hogan. And he said that because of the week before, that the NWO, their actions would not be tolerated anymore and that it would stop. So awesome. I don't know. I just thought it was awesome. And they also played like a vignette of the NWO had these paid announcements that they would always do, but because they won War Games, it was WCW not paying for them, and they had this. See, Hulk Hogan has always had this dated vision of what's cool, you know, and these vignettes were awesome. But it shows him like in a hotel room, and he's there with his son. And the fake Sting and the Giant and Nash. And, you know, they just said, like, you know, hey, welcome back, everybody. But to make them a little bit cooler, they were hanging out with Kyle Petty, who is a race car driver that no one outside of, you know, a few southern states could possibly care about.
Yeah, this is like if it was in 92 WCW, everybody watching would probably know what they would be talking about.
Yes,
you know,
because exactly.
There was a lot more Southern back then.
Yes, but I mean, it was so weird that, like, they thought it was so cool. Like, I mean, I understand there's a lot of racing fans. I mean, trust me, I know a lot of people like NASCAR, and I know I've always personally been offended that people, like, group wrestling with NASCAR. Like, you know, people think everybody that likes wrestling must like NASCAR, too, because they're both trashy, you know? And I've just always hated NASCAR. I think it's so stupid.
Wrestling is a lot more interesting.
Yes, exactly.
Watch the guys take a left turn for 500 laps.
Yes, horrible. Horrible, horrible. All right, so we have Nitro. It was the debut of El Technico. It was the Public Enemy defending against Hoovy and El Technico, which El Technico was just Billy Kidman under a mask. Apparently, they didn't have enough luchadors, so they wanted Hoovy to have a luchador partner.
I was thinking about that because they would have like 60 people in the locker room at this time or something like that.
Yes, and they put Billy Kidman out there, but whatever. And they destroyed him. I mean, they destroyed him, made Hoovy look like a joke, and they put him through a table. I must say, this Nitro was a lot better than the week before. A lot better.
Oh, God, yes.
Alex Wright beat Dean Malenko, and...
which makes no sense since he was going for the title at Halloween Havoc.
Yes, because Malenko was the one that, like, was doing a feud with Mysterio, you know?
Uh-huh.
And Alex Wright beating him really made no sense. No sense at all. You know, this is WCW, and... They did a lot of things like this. Eddie Guerrero destroyed Jim Powers, legendary jobber. And the thing, during this match, they announced that Eddie Guerrero is going to wrestle DDP at Halloween Havoc for that ring, that Battle Bowl ring. And
I don't even know. Did he still have that ring?
Or did DDP steal it? I have no idea what happened.
I think DDP stole it back when he won it.
Yes. Yes, he did. I know that. I think he gets it back. I know he does.
Yeah.
Nick Patrick is the referee, and he's doing the best heel referee. I mean, I always thought, because Danny Davis, I thought, was a shitty heel referee. Horrible. You know, it wasn't interesting at all. I watched a bunch of the stuff. It was just so goofy or whatever. Nick Patrick is like such a funny kind of goofy during this, and he wore this neck brace out there and had like this feigned injury look on his face, like, you know, he's hurting so bad. It was so great.
If he didn't want to do the three count, he'd start holding his neck at two.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Completed.
Yes. It was so great. Mm-hmm. And he would help the heels. It was a very, very, very good storyline. Hugh Morris beat Brad Armstrong this week after losing to him a couple weeks before. They announced that Luger would face Arn Anderson at Halloween Havoc. And woman like Elizabeth lately has been all freaked out because of the attack on Randy Savage. And
yeah.
So Arn Anderson and Woman talk to her, and they're like, look, you know, you need to stop messing around and get your head in the game, which is all.
I guess it was okay, like before, when Flair and Arn Anderson were beating the piss out of him. But when Hulk Hogan does it, yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't like that. She does not like that. Arn Anderson beat Jericho with a DDT, and this was for me, because I actually just recently rewatched this. Jericho was so awesome in this match, and so was Arn Anderson. It's like one of those matches that, like, I wish could happen. You know, I wish Arn Anderson was healthy 10 years later and wrestled Jericho when Jericho was in his prime.
Uh huh.
This is
a
hell of a
match
with the
tremendous, like. Like the finish where, like, it's Lambury with Alex Wright. Is that how that ended?
What do you mean?
Where, you know, he tees the left hand and, you know, Jericho ducks and he hits the DDT.
No, it was. This was, he missed a moonsault.
Oh, okay. Because I thought I remembered that finish in this match. My fault.
They, Bischoff at this time is so great, because did you have any idea he's with NWO? Did you think it was coming?
I didn't really. It never seemed like a heel authority figure, but so I wasn't like expecting it. It wasn't until like right before he turned, he threw out some hints that, you know, he wasn't on the level. So it was pretty much a shock when it happened.
Yes, it was. I thought so. Elizabeth leaves the arena. Luger beats Michael Wall Street, which there had to have been some sort of lawsuit that he went back to Michael Wall Street. Ming the Barbarian beat Rock and Roll Express, which... It was like Rock and Roll Express still being on Nitro in 1986 was so crazy.
I know, it was weird.
Yes.
And they injured Johnny Grunge's the Public Enemy ran in afterwards, and the Face of Fear injured his knee. So.
Yes. Yeah, because it's supposed to be Halloween Havoc. It's supposed to be Benoit and Mongo versus the Steiners.
Faces of Fear.
No, I mean Benoit and Mongo versus the Steiners.
No, against the Faces of Fear, that was supposed to be.
Oh, Oh, okay. All right, well, Benoit beats Rick Steiner on this show after Mongo hits Rick Steiner in the back of the head with the Halliburton, as they always called it. I always thought that was so funny. It's like, oh, he hit him with the Halliburton. Like, you know, the casual fan is supposed to know what that is, you know. But I remember as a kid, I had no idea what they were even talking about.
Yeah.
The Halliburton.
Oh, I think this show ended with, I don't know, didn't Elizabeth show up at the hotel? And she signed some kind of a contract with Hogan so he wouldn't beat up Savage anymore or something like that.
Yes.
I vaguely remember that. And
yes.
Then Savage showed up at the hotel.
She pretty much joined the NWO, right?
Yeah. It was like when Lita slept with Kane so he wouldn't beat up Matt Hardy anymore.
Yes, yes.
Or something like that. But then he kept beating him up anyway, so shouldn't the contract be void or something? I don't know.
And one bright spot of going on right now on the show, or in WCW, is the NWO would have their own like little segment on Saturday night, and it would always be like in this like abandoned warehouse, and they'd have matches, and they would make up the names of their opponents, like, you know, and they'd always be funny, and one of them, like, it was Hall and Nash beat JoJo and Rocket Starbuck, and it's just so funny.
Oh, before this, we need to mention that on WCW tonight, Saturday night, the week before, the Harlem Heat won the titles back.
Yes, they did. They won the titles back because it had to be Harlem Heat versus Hall and Nash. That would have been the only match that would have made sense.
Yeah.
All right, so then the Harlem Heat wrestled Public Enemy on the next Nitro and beat them. They were the tag champs again already. And
beat them in a non-title match. I guess they don't get that return match.
Yes, apparently not. Well, they also kind of said that the reason for it is because Jenny Grant has a bad knee. And I liked that. I liked how they would... Yeah, you know, they use that as like an excuse, kind of. So I like that. I like that they didn't make it appear that they just lost the match straight up. I really like that. And Hall Nash came out, cut a promo on the Harlem Heat, saying that they're going to beat him at Halloween Havoc. DDP beat Jim Powers, making the Barbarian.
And they were kind of shooting on him because I think they said that, I don't think they're from Harlem. I think they're two rednecks from Texas, which they were. So...
Yes. Yes, just assholes. They were such assholes.
Jeff Jarrett made his debut this night.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Just
showed up. And he said he also wanted to be a horseman right off the bat.
Yeah,
because
I remember just when he showed up out of the limo, Bischoff said, oh, Jeff Jarrett's here, join the NWO, but then he was like, said, I'm all about tradition and stuff like that, and he's going to fight Hogan in the NWO or something like that.
Yes, which was awesome. He beat T. Morris, and this is good for WCW because Jeff Jarrett is an addition to any roster.
Yeah.
Lex Luger beat Dave Taylor, and so funny. So funny. Just like... They have this huge feud, you know, with the NWO, and he has this stuff going on against Arn Anderson and stuff. Like, you know, he's angry, he's pissed off. But also, he wants a television title shot, like, which is the lowest belt you could have in WCW, with the exception of, like, maybe the Cruiserweight title. He wants his TV title shot against Lord Regal ASAP, you know, because that's very important to him. They have that world television title. So, of course, Arn Anderson's the one that comes out, beats his ass, and Flair's injured, right?
No, well, he would be in this, coming up in the main event.
All right, yes. Rick Steiner beats Benoit, and...
I love the finish to this match. It's
yeah, go ahead and explain it.
Mongo has the briefcase outside, and I think what has happened Mongo attempts to hit Scott. He raises it up to hit Scott, and you know Scott's injured at the time with his back. And while he's got it raised up, Steiner just snatches it right out of his hands and just bashes Mongo right in the head, and he just knocked out. It was like one of the funniest things I've ever seen, because I hated Mongo McMichael. I just loved any time somebody would, you know, just knock the shit out of him. And he hit Chris Benoit with it and won the match, which was probably a decent match. Rick Steiner and Chris Benoit this time. That sounds like...
Oh, yeah. I always thought Rick Steiner could have been a single star. I always thought that. Because, you know, he could talk, and he was such a good wrestler.
He was
in great shape, too.
He was like the one guy that I saw really get like the retard gimmick over and still be a tough guy and still
be a little bit more
of a legitimate athlete instead of like just a joke. He could do all the ha ha stuff, but you saw him, you know, he could kick anybody's fucking ass.
Yes, and the main event.
Flair and Savage. Flair gets jumped by the NWO. Beforehand, this is when Flair got injured. He tore his rotator cuff in Japan, I think. So he was going to be out for like 6 or 7 months. And so the show ends with another Randy Savage ass kicking. This is when Savage was renegotiating his deal. I guess that's why they're kicking his ass every week. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what they were doing.
Contract was running out, so.
I remember.
And you would think he would have, with all these butt kickings, he'd win the match at Halloween Havoc, but no.
Yeah. You would think so.
Yeah.
All right. Dean Malenko beats Scott Armstrong, future TNA and WWE official Scott Armstrong. Defeats him by submission. Jim Duggan and Michael Wallstreet. They have reignited that flame that is that feud that's been going on for the last forever. And this isn't a Saturday Night feud. This is a Nitro feud. So Jim Duggan beats Mike Wallstreet. Hugh Morris beats Jim Powers. As you can tell, Nitro so far, shitty show. Lex Luger beats Greg Valentine, continuing with the shittiness. Eddie Guerrero defeats the Cheetah Kid.
Was that Rock and Roll?
Cheetah Kid? Yeah, that's what I was asking. I don't remember this.
I remember the Cheetah. I vaguely remember him like being in WCW for one or two matches. I wonder if this actually was Rock or Rock, because you know he was Cheetah Kid on the Independence.
Yes, I'm not sure. Jarrett beat Big Bubba, and I remember this because Jimmy Hart gave Big Bubba the megaphone to hit Jeff Jarrett with, and he ended up drop kicking it like right into his face, and. Jarrett got interviewed afterwards and said that he wanted to wrestle the Giant at Halloween Havoc because the Giant had stole the U.S. title from Ric Flair. He didn't win it. It wasn't his title. He just had it.
Yeah, and he was supposed to face Ric Flair at the pay-per-view, so.
Yeah, so he pretty much just took his spot.
This was also the show. This was from the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis, Tennessee. And I guess Jerry Lawler on their little Memphis base had... Nobody needs to go to see Nitro because all the stuff happens in the back and you can't see what happens. And then, so they did like this big gate here in the Mid-South Coliseum, and then Bischoff went on there and said, we want to thank Mr. Lawler for all the promotion for this show tonight, for getting this crowd in here. Said that on TV.
Awesome. Harlem Heat wrestled Ming the Barbarian. And I remember, I always liked Ming and the Barbarian, and I was really excited about this match. And Hall and Nash come out, and it ended up in a big standoff. And then, like, the NWO did an interview to end the show, and while they're doing this interview, the Nasty Boys come out. And they're wearing, like, their NWO shirts. I don't know if you remember this or not.
Yeah.
And they have these NWO shirts, like, you know, hey, you know, like, we're with you, you know? And Hogan told them, like, you know, you can't wear these colors until we tell you you can. And they beat the shit out of them, and they spray painted their backs. and
he looked like a bunch of goose.
Yes, and they so Hogan said the same thing's gonna happen to Randy Savage, and that Elizabeth, his ex-wife, dreamed about Hogan night and day before their marriage fell apart. And that's why their marriage fell apart, which is horrible. Why are they, I don't know.
This is after their marriage fell apart, right?
The what?
Whose marriage fell apart?
Before Randy Savage's marriage fell apart.
Oh, yeah, well, that was like years before.
I know, but that's a Hogan said in the interview.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
Randy Savage doesn't care if Hulk Hogan ended his marriage, like when he's working a money program with him. It's only, you know, when that stuff is over with, he gets mad. I don't know. Randy Savage is a weirdo.
Yes, he is. all right, so...
That's NWO Saturday night. Skull and Kevin Nash defeat the Starbucks twins.
Yeah. the week before, though, Randy Savage left because in, like, a very, like, soap opera-esque moment, they, like, had this, like, little clip of Elizabeth on this porch swing saying that she still loved the Macho Man, even though she's with NWO now. And the thing is, like, why did she join NWO? Like, why? they still beat the shit out of him.
I know. That's why I said, shouldn't the contract be void, since they should, you know, they kept beating him up.
Yes, I have no idea.
I don't know.
Yes, I don't know. All right,
so
Chris Jericho.
This is the go-home show for Halloween Havoc, right?
Yes, right here. This is the go-home show.
Okay.
All right, it is Jericho beat Bobby Eaton. And this was during that, there's an angle where Six is videotaping people.
Yeah.
And he just, like, videotaped characters. As a matter of fact, like, it's funny because, like, when they did the Blue World Order, they actually had Rob Feinstein play the character of Six.
Yeah, he was 7-Eleven.
Yeah, his name was 7-Eleven. That's so funny. And then they announced that Jericho was going to wrestle Six at Halloween Havoc. Jimmy Graffiti makes his WCW debut, I believe, on this match against Dean Malenko.
Jimmy Del Rey of Heavenly Bodies.
Yes, but his name is Jimmy Graffiti, and he's wearing this costume. And the man's fucking 40 years old, at least. And he's wearing this costume that makes him try to look like he's 22 or something, or 18, maybe even 17. Like has graffiti all over it. And
he looks like a member of the Public Enemy, to be honest with you.
Yes, he did. He definitely did. And Malenko came to the ring wearing Rey Mysterio Jr.'s mask. Pitbull Pittman lost to DDP. And this is when Teddy Long is having his issues with Nick Patrick. This is actually we should mention this. This is like kind of like a lower card feud going on between Teddy Long and Nick Patrick. They're serious. You know, they're like really going back and forth.
Yeah, Nick Patrick saying how can you question anybody's integrity as an official with your past? Because, you know, he was the heel official like back in 1989 when the Road Warriors lost the tag team titles or something like that. So I like how they kind of fit that
Mansion
in.
Doom, right?
Yeah. The Varsity Club.
Oh, yeah, it was Varsity Club.
Yeah.
All right, they had, but he did manage Doom, didn't he, for a while?
Yeah, he managed them.
Okay. They had Shivani interviewed Nick Patrick because they're like, hey, Nick Patrick, are you the NWO referee? Because it clearly was him. I mean, it was him, just wearing a mask. But he's like,
Didn't he have a ski mask on?
Yes, but it was so Nick Patrick, you know what I mean? You can tell by the movements and stuff. Big Ron Studd lost to Jeff Jarrett by submission with a figure four. Ric Flair comes out, and they strut together, and they shook Jeff Jarrett's hand, and Jeff Jarrett said that he had a match with the Giant at Halloween Havoc this week, and he'd be going after the Giant's leg. And then Ric Flair said he's going to have his operation, but he's going to be in the corner of Jeff Jarrett at Halloween Havoc. And
Luger defeated Roadblock via submission with the torture rack. After Roadblock is like a 6 foot six, like 400-pound guy, and he tried three times to put him in the torture rack. He dropped him every time.
Yeah, yeah. And it was Roadblock was so hilarious, okay? Because all right, the dude comes out and he's carrying a roadblock. Like an actual thing that they put on the road. So apparently he's not the roadblock. He's carrying a roadblock. So he's just a guy that carries a roadblock. And he comes
he's
up
one being blocked,
thing.
I guess. I don't understand.
Yeah, I have no idea, but it's a great character, I guess. And he just carries this thing out, and he's a jobber, but he was awesome. Harlem Heat, wrestled Mark Bagwell, Scotty Riggs. Another title match. None of these matches are for the title. They destroy him. And
Eric Bischoff.
Eric Bischoff here. Can I have this one?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
All right. So the Braves beat the Yankees in the World Series. So Bischoff makes one of his famous comments saying, like, he congratulates Atlanta on beating New York, and then he says, "We kind of have a habit around here, don't we? Big win over New York."
He was so arrogant at this time.
Yeah, so arrogant. So arrogant. All right, and you think there are old tag teams of the Rock and Roll Express?
The Fantastics.
Yeah. Ming and LaVarain wrestled the fucking Fantastics. When was the last time they were relevant, like, on this big of a...
1988.
Yes, 1988, okay?
Almost 10 years earlier.
8 years later.
Yeah.
Huh?
I said almost 10 years earlier.
Yes, almost 10 years earlier.
God.
JL wrestles NWO Sting. This is where Sting comes out.
Yeah, first appearance since Nitro after the pay-per-view.
And he comes out in a black trench coat like the Crow, like with the white face paint, and he attacks the fake Sting, and like one thing that's like it's strange about it is like the NWO doesn't even care that they attacked the NWO or that he attacked NWO Sting. They come out and they say, you know, hey, join us. And he said that he may or may not be in their price range. And his new line is the only thing sure about Sting is nothing's for sure. And
yeah.
He just leaves.
And it was the last time we were hearing him talk for a year, over a year.
Yes. Yes, that's it. Benoit Russell's Randy Savage, and
I don't even think they had a match.
Yes, it's supposed to be a match, right?
Yeah, and Hogan's like and Elizabeth and the Giant are like on the set of Three Ninjas, High Noon, and Mega Mountain. I don't know how I remember that entire title, but it's just one of those things. But I think he just did a promo and telling Hulk Hogan, life is fragile or something like that. I don't know. I vaguely remember this.
I do remember.
Hulk Hogan couldn't even show up for the go home. Couldn't even show up for the go home show.
No, he could not. No, he could not because he's filming this movie. Okay. Well, while he's on the set, he fires the director of the movie and names the Giant the new director of the movie. So I don't know if you guys knew this, but the Big Show, Paul White, actually directed Three Ninjas, High Noon, and Mega Mountain. And Hogan was the producer.
Well, anybody that was seeing this movie that had made it anywhere. It's probably straight to video. Hogan was back on the. He was out of the theaters. He was back to straight to video now.
Oh God, yes. I mean, honestly, he's nobody. Nobody.
WWE might as well have made this movie.
Yeah. The Giant, who was on the show, I thought once he joined the NWO, it really, like, killed so much momentum for him. I thought I'd just bring that up real quick.
Yeah, like, I didn't think he was a good fit.
No, he was definitely not a good fit because I thought he would have been – he's been over so much as a babyface fighting these guys.
Yeah, especially as a world champion. I mean, he was such a great world champion, like, this previous – what, 4 or 5 months he held the title? And I don't know. It made him look like a geek kind of, you know, they just beat him, and so he goes and joins them. It kind of made him look stupid, I thought.
Yes, it did. And the cover of the Halloween Havoc videotape was so funny because Randy Savage had evolved as a character over the past, like, 6 months since the NWO showed up. He wasn't this, like, goofy guy anymore, you know, that wore all the bright colors and stuff like that. He's a more darker persona. And I love the cover of the Halloween Havoc. He's wearing, like, you know, those, like, bright hats that he wore back in, like, 93, or right when he showed up in WCW. And
yeah.
It was just one of the worst.
At least they got Hogan in his black gear and, like, Hog Wild, where he was still in the red and yellow.
Yes, yes.
And I'm checking something out right here because I'm looking at this. Good Lord, if you pay $135 for this fucking videotape, I'll come to your house and just beat you over the head with a baseball bat.
Yes, $135.
Jesus Christ.
Sure, man.
I'm looking at these things here. $149. Oh, my gosh. Go to aisle for people, you know. We'll get you some cheap DVDs, fucking idiots.
And it's like one of those things, it's like a videotape. Like, I was looking at these posters on eBay recently. It was like the Great American Bash 1992 poster. And the guy wanted $100 for it. $100. It was like a mid-condition poster. $100. And I was like thinking, like, oh. I could see someone buying that, and I could see why.
Drop it down
to $5.
You got a deal. Yeah.
What?
I said drop it down to $5. You got a deal.
Yes, exactly. No, I mean, that's when I would buy it. That's when I would buy it. I actually just bought an NWO sold-out poster for $5 on eBay.
I can go buy the entire year of WCW Saturday Night, like 1987, every episode for like $40.
Yes, I understand that, and that's the thing.
Jesus Christ.
Like, no, but what I'm saying is that the poster, I could see why someone would spend $100 on that if they wanted a collector's item, like, that would, you know, it would take up a big space in a room or something. It would be something that would take up a big space that you could display. A videotape is a little videotape. It would take up, you know, a couple of inches of space that would just, you know, hey, look what I have on videotape. Oh, well, I have it on DVD.
No,
you know, why would
find videotapes nowadays anyways? Shit.
Yes. I don't know. I do not know. All right, so... let's look at the Halloween Havoc. It's the legendary announced team, Bobby Heenan, Tony Schiavone, and Dusty Rhodes. And... All right, so Dean Malenko beat Rey Mysterio Jr. to win the title. It was Rey Mysterio was a little bit injured, right?
I don't remember if he was injured at the time or not. I'm not sure.
I thought he was. One thing I do remember is like the first two matches ended with a powerbomb. DDP beat Eddie Guerrero with a sit-down powerbomb. And then
the guy was shocked because this is like the biggest victory that DDP ever had at the time.
Ever. And it was a clean win, too.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was, you know, it was kind of, once again, planting the seeds on this whole, you know, DDP push that they're getting ready for.
And I think the Lord of the Ring was forgotten about after this match.
Yes, they never talked about it again that I can remember, that I can recall.
Yeah.
All right, the Giants beats Jeff Jarrett by DQ because Flair hit a low blow on the Giant. And he was going to choke slam Jeff Jarrett on the floor. And he left with the U.S. title again, right?
Yeah, he was just, from when they had stolen it, from when they attacked Flair the first time. And I think the next night they started a tournament for it or something like that.
Yes. All right, Chris Jericho is about to join Teddy Long. You're going to hear about it, I think, the next night. he's going to join Teddy Long and his Patrick because Jericho has six beat. He has him beat a bunch of times in this match, but there's a slow count by Nick Patrick. So they had six beat Jericho. And
I was excited for this match because I like both of these guys at the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I would if they wrestled now, I'd be excited for it still to this
yeah.
day.
Six
yeah.
was always one of my favorite guys. I love watching him wrestle.
Who was?
Six.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He was great. They showed Kevin Sullivan, Conan, and Big Bubba sitting in the crowd. Ever since the NWO showed up, boy did Kevin Sullivan get shut down, right? I mean,
yeah.
Seriously. I mean, just, I don't know. Luger beat Arn Anderson with the torture rack. And while he has the torture rack after the match, Kevin Sullivan, Conan, and Big Bubba are cheering in the audience. Mongo
yeah.
and Benoit beat Ming the Barbarian. And I always thought this was a mistake doing this. I thought Ming the Barbarian should have won this match.
Yeah,
and
it ended up with the Horsemen getting destroyed afterwards anyway, so might as well,
yes, they
might
did.
As well
they got,
beat them.
Yeah.
Because Flair went to the hospital with Arn Anderson, so there's nobody out there to save him. So.
Yes, and this was continuing that feud with the whole Benoit with woman thing.
Yeah.
And Kevin Sullivan unbuttons his shirt, like right in front of woman, you know, and says he's still the man, and then he punted Benoit in the face. awesome. Awesome stuff. Harlem Heat finally lost the tag titles, of course, to Hall and Nash. Everybody expected it.
Yeah. I thought this was a good deal, putting the titles on Hall and Nash.
Yeah, it was smart.
I liked it. Yeah, it fit what they were doing at the time, so.
Yeah. And after Colonel Parker had his name stolen, Nash, the fish was, he hit Booker T, I think, with it.
Didn't
Colonel
like,
Parker
he get
ran
so
away.
Scared of, like, he got so scared of, like, Kevin Nash or something, instead he just gave him the cane.
And just took off.
Yeah. That was tremendous.
Took off. Awesome. All right, Randy Savage wrestles Hulk Hogan in the event. And, you know, what can you say? Savage lost the match.
Hulk Hogan had hair.
First off, Hulk Hogan comes out with his wig, okay? It's a spike hair wig. He looked hilarious. I mean, it was so funny. So, I mean, like, what an awesome heel move coming out with his fucking hair. And it's so great. He's out. And the match is awesome. I mean, they're really, really having a good match. This is like Hogan's best match in a long time. And they're having the match. The Giant comes out and he chokeslams him. Like during the match, he pours water on Hogan and wakes him up because Hogan like squeaked out a victory.
Yeah.
Like, completely just squeaked out a victory this match. And then Hogan and the Giant, and I remember watching this live, and I remember thinking, like, oh, something's going to happen. Because you don't end a pay-per-view with just an interview, you know? You don't end
yeah.
it with just, you know, without something happening. And then all of a sudden, Roddy Piper, who once again have a bit of business. I mean, he's a big name in wrestling, but they signed like a. Just go ahead and explain it better than I can. I know you can.
Explain what?
Like Piper coming out, and like how BCW would always do that. They would always get someone that's old, like, you know, just
yeah.
how TNA still does today.
Yeah, they he had been he'd recently been in WWF, you know, as the president earlier that year.
Yes.
When Gorilla Monsoon got attacked by Vader and they brought him in as president, he did the old Gold Dust. And this was shocking to me at the time because Meek Piper was a WWF guy. I mean, like a lifer WWF guy. I was shocked when he showed up here. And he cut this promo, and he's mentioning, like, WrestleMania and stuff like this. And it was – and he's sitting there, and, you know, he called him the Giant Sprout. He said, calm down, Sprout. He kept calling the Giant
Sprout.
Calm down, Sprout. Yeah. And I think Vincent was there, and he said – you just stand there. I taught you how to fight. Because, you know, from, like, WrestleMania, like, 1991, when he trained
yeah.
Virgil against the Million Dollar Man, it was tremendous. It was an awesome promo.
He ended with saying,
like, maybe we should have the war that didn't settle the score, which was the war to settle the score was, like, their big match on MTV, like, in 12 years earlier.
Yeah, it was a match from the 80s that they're referring to. And it was cool because Hogan, like, actually admitted that Piper was as big of a star as him. So immediately Piper's over as a main eventer in WCW. And Piper took the belt, you know, like, kind of just held it there. I don't know. And then the show just went off the air. So Piper is now in WCW.
And the next night, the Giant defeated Pat Tanaka. That sounds like a fair match.
Yeah, yes, it was. It was very fair. Very, very fair. All right, Nitro was doing right after Halloween Havoc, it's like they have like a little bit of rebuilding to do because, you know, there was a fallout from that. So they had to open up new feuds and, you know, start, like, new things, you know, and they did Ortiz Rico, who apparently still has Russell Luger for the TV title, defeated Juventud Guerrera, DDP defeated Mike Enos. This is this match, which was interesting to me. Dean Malenko, who's the new Cruiserweight champion, defended against a non-cruiserweight in Jim Powers. Jeff Jarrett defeated Ricky Morton. And then they started a feud between High Voltage and the Nasty Boys. Why? I have no idea. But this was, I guess, to get the Nasty Boys back on TV. I mean, you would think that they would want to fight the NWO, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what they were. They were just maybe they were interfering. Maybe they beat both teams up or something like this. I think that this was just like them coming back because they were so angry about what happened with Hogan and NWO. So
it was awesome though. Mysterio beat Benoit, beat Eddie Guerrero, and T beat Lex Luger by countout. And
nothing really on the show of note.
Well, I remember they talked about the Piper thing, and this is also the beginning of where Bischoff is claiming that he's trying to make the match happen between Hogan and Piper.
Yeah.
And, all right, so the next Nitro, Bischoff's on the show, and he said that he's trying to get a hold of Piper, but there's been a snag in the negotiation between Piper and WCW, and he's going to try to meet up with Piper the following Tuesday to continue the discussions, and said that, you know, something's wrong and Piper's not agreeing. So it's very interesting. Very interesting that, you know, that's going on. You know, it's very interesting to me as a fan at the time that, you know, he, like, you think this Piper match is going to happen now. And what did you think? What did you think at the time?
I figured it was going to happen. I mean, they wouldn't have had all this, you know, just like in, I mean, in wrestling, they're not going to tease all this stuff and not have it come, you know, eventually end in a match. I just didn't know which way it was going to go with the Bischoff heel turn at the time.
Yes. All right. DDP beats Ice Train. And they show footage that Kevin Nash and Scott Hall had celebrated DDP winning.
Yeah.
And they show them watching. So they're courting DDP to join the NWO. They're courting him to join the NWO.
Yeah, and I know, like, some people didn't know it at the time, but he had a history from back in 91 and 92 with those guys.
Yeah, with those guys. So
he managed Diamond Stud, and he tag teamed with Vinny Vegas and stuff like that. So
yeah, so they were all friends.
Yeah, and he thought that they were dissing him by trying to make him like the sixth or seventh guy in the NWO.
He was insulted by it. Yes.
Yeah.
Dean Malenko beat Scotty Riggs, and they announced that Malenko is going to defend as well against Psychosis at World War III.
And this is the start of, you know, the little dissension with the American Males.
Yes, it was.
Something later on. So.
Yes, they're showing that they're, you know, getting angry with each other.
Yeah.
Benoit beat Hector Guerrero, and they said that Kevin Sullivan did a little thing saying that, you know, he couldn't wait to wrestle. I think it was, what was he wrestling, Benoit?
In Baltimore, it was the night before World War III, which was weird because they weren't really, like, promoting the house show matches, like, on TV like this.
Oh, very odd. They're starting this women's championship tournament where they're going to create a WCW women's champion. And Medusa beat supposed CMLL women's champion Reina Jabuki, who was just Akira Hokuto in a mask. And was that a real character of hers?
I have no idea because
CMLL.
CMLL, that's the Mexican promotion?
Yes.
Yeah, I never got into that, so I don't know if that was just like, I didn't know if it was just like if this was actually a character she did in Mexico or not, or just they threw something like a mask on her because they needed an extra woman or something to get beat. I don't know.
Yeah. Jericho beat Michael Wall Street. And then after the match, Nick Patrick and his attorney were having an interview saying, you know, that he was being wrongly accused and stuff. And then Jericho interrupted him saying that he wasn't injured. He was with the NWO. And Teddy Long came out to help Jericho with this cause. Luger beat Booker T after Booker T was distracted by Colonel Parker, and he.
This was like the first Nitro that had Sting up in the rafters, I think.
Yes.
And he'd gone to the fully painted crow look with his face fully painted, which I thought was cool because I love that movie. So I thought this whole look was like, I thought it was really cool, tremendous.
It was definitely awesome. And the show, and then he asked for Sting. He cut a promo saying he just wants Sting to talk to him. And the show ended with Hogan talking about the Cable Ace Awards.
Actually watched that Cable Ace Awards because the NWO was going to be on there. They spent the whole night in the back, and it ended up with what was the chick's name from the Drew Carey show? You know, like his arch nemesis that was in the office with. Yes, he said, because Drew Carey was like the host. He said these guys didn't get their award, and it ended with Mimi and the NWO going in Drew Carey's dressing room. You just heard a bunch of like furniture getting tossed around, and I guess they beat the shit out of him, and then the show went off the air.
Oh God!
I watched the whole Cable Ace Awards for that shit. Never mind.
Horrible. Horrible, and they ended the Nitro with that.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, they didn't end the Nitro with that. They didn't end the Cable Ace Awards with that.
No, but I'm saying they ended Nitro with hyping the Nitro with the hyping the Cable Ace Awards.
Oh yeah, that's right. And we saw a clip of Santa with muscles, which was Hogan's next straight to video feature. Who cares?
All right. Okay. This is so great. Okay. All right, this Nitro. They're in Florida. All right, and. At the beginning of the show, they're all like they're talking to us. The announcers are like Shivani and them, and security dealing with this fan.
Yeah.
And this fan, and they also have Sting up in the rafters or whatever, and they said that this fan had this videotape. Okay, and the fan's name was Ken McDade. And he had this video that was a hit in Europe in 1992. And
his video was
video
awful.
was a music video of Roddy Piper singing. I don't even remember. What was the song called? Do you know?
I have no idea.
I'm Your Man.
I need to look this up on YouTube.
No,
yeah, something like that.
I'm Your Man.
I need to look this up on YouTube later and put it up in the thread or something.
Yes. And it shows Piper training, and the marquee of the match was Roddy Piper versus Hulk Hogan. And they're, like, saying, like, you know, hey, this is...
Piper wants this match.
That Piper's wanted this match since 1992. You know, in his video, I'm Your Man.
And this was the motivation to get this deal done, to get this match signed from this video from 1992. This was stupid.
Yes. Yeah, because
now we know why. Now we know why Piper really wants to fight this guy, because we saw this video from 1992.
Yeah, so we know. Well, because we all think that he doesn't want this match. You know, we all think that.
Yeah, because
Bischoff keeps saying that. Yeah, because Bischoff keeps telling us this. All right, so
I just remember Tony Schiavone's reaction when the fan dropped the videotape. Tony Schiavone looked back in the camera and said, "Fans don't do that." Just like really stern, like your dad or something like that.
He was stern, the handsome Tony Schiavone. And Jeff Jarrett had cut his promo saying that, that WCW needed a leader to face the NWO, and that Sting had let the fans down and stuff like that. So Jeff Jarrett has a match with Benoit, and Sting comes out during the match and just freaking drops him with the Scorpion Death Drop, as it's called now.
Yeah.
The reverse DDT. And it was really like, thinking like, oh, he must be with the NWO. I remember thinking, like, watching this, like, what the hell? What is going on?
Yeah.
What is going on? It's awesome, though. It's awesome. Then they had Zero beat Malaya Hosaka with a powerbomb in about a minute in the women's
Zero was the Gaia All Asian Athlete Women's Champion. That's got to be the longest title. Name for a title
I've
ever heard.
Dear God. Rey Mysterio beat as Tony Schiavone with it. Cyclope.
Cyclops.
Edge. Yes, yes. With the Hurricanrana.
Lex Luger defeated Scott Norton with the torture rack. I got to spoof that.
Yes.
Even if he could get Scott Norton up, Scott Norton would never. I just want to take big guys like that and have them lose to mostly for torture rack. So silly.
No. Definitely. They had the Harlem Heat wrestle the Quebecers, or whatever they're called, amazing French Canadians.
Yes, and Colonel Parker's out there like he's a member of the French Foreign Legion with his new outfit.
Yes, because he is now with them instead of the Harlem Heat, because he ran away and the Harlem Heat kicked him out. So, yeah. I mean, his new outfit is just as hilarious as the last one was.
This was when the Nasty Boys were trying to get in the arena, and all of a sudden they run into Ed Leslie outside, who's the Moody Man.
Yes, because no one wants them. But they tried turning, and they didn't, so they have nowhere to go. They are men with no island. that's what I believe Tony Schiavone says. All right. Conan beat Chris Jericho by DQ, and it was... I hated the thug thing. I hated the whole thug gimmick. I didn't like it at all. I did not like that at all. I thought it was stupid.
Those promos were irritating as hell.
Yes.
Like I'm watching a gang movie.
Yes, I know. And that's exactly what it was.
Christ.
It was. it was like watching a gang movie. They debuted Miguel Perez, who eventually, like, he was there a very short time, right?
Yeah, he looked like he was wearing a sweater because he had so much fucking hair all over his body.
He had so much hair, it looked like he was wearing a sweater.
Next year he's in WWF as one of the Barriquas with Savio.
So I don't even really remember him much in WCW.
I just remember this question, like he did some matches on Saturday night or something.
Yes. Megan the Barbarian beat Mark Bagwell, Scotty Riggs. It was like the same thing every week with those guys. They were such... But the thing about this was now they're teasing a breakup between Bagwell and Riggs, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
And Bischoff claimed that Roddy Piper, he met with Roddy Piper and his management team, but they couldn't get any answers out of them. And
well, what did they do? Just sit there and nobody said nothing?
Yeah.
They went to a meeting where nobody answered questions.
Yes.
I don't know.
So, but after the match, the Nasty Boys, it was announced the Nasty Boys are going to face Hall and Nash. So Jimmy Hart said Ming and the Barbarian should be in that match as well. So they were trying to make it to a three-way.
If they were facing Hall and Nash, why couldn't they get in the fucking building?
I have no idea.
Which I like Ming and the Barbarian getting on this feud because they were one of my favorite teams at the time. So
I loved it. I love them. They're awesome. Gosh, were they awesome. The next Nitro. All right, run us through it.
Let's see. La Parca pinned Juventud Guerrera in 9 minutes, 22 seconds. I think this was La Parca's debut. Never seen him before. Let's see. J Crown Champion Ultimo Dragon defeated Cruiserweight Champion Dean Malenko by disqualification when Malenko sent Dragon over the top rope with a backdrop. And they were building up Dragon facing Mysterio at World War III for the J Crown and Malenko facing Psychosis for the Cruiserweight title. Jacques Rougeau and Carl Ouellette beat Marcus Bagwell and Scotty Riggs.
And well, to interrupt you real fast, I'm sorry. The show had opened up with Hall and Nash, though. They, like, beat the shit out of, like, the Nasty Boys, and they beat the shit out of High Voltage and some of the luchadors with chairs. And then they, like, confronted Tony Schiavone and threatened him about the comments that, like, he made about them the week before. And Then he, you know, they threatened Ming and the Barbarian. And they went backstage and Ming and the Barbarian freaking went after him. You know, they went after him and they were actually like, it was like a fair fight. Instead of them beating everybody's ass, it was like they were, you know, going back and forth. And Shivani walked off. You know, he's not like to be threatened by the NWO, so he just walked off.
Yeah, he was, because Zabisco wouldn't stand up for him. So
he got, I don't know, he got his pussy hurt, so he went to the back.
This was the show where Hogan and the NWO agreed that they all went after Bischoff, right? Like, they went after Bischoff to do an interview? Is this the show?
This was the go-home show for World War III. This was when Bischoff turned.
Bischoff turned at the show?
Yes. This was like,
that's what I thought.
Bischoff had gotten fed up with, I think, people wondering if the deal was going to happen, so he got all mad and went to the ring. And he said, well, I just want to get to the main angle right here. You know, he said he hasn't been able to get in touch with Piper's people and stuff. He's been to Piper's house and stuff, and all of a sudden you hear the bagpipes, and Piper comes out and says, well, when you came to meet me in my house, was it a gravel road, or was it just, you know, like a regular road? Was it a curved road? Was it a straight road? And he said, you're a liar. And I'm saying, what's he talking about? And then it's kind of piecing it all together that Bischoff has never negotiated with him to get this match. He's just been lying this entire time. And then he says right there on live TV, just calls him a piece of shit. And then the NWO come in and they grab Piper, and then Piper and Hogan and Bischoff hug, and he was just like, holy shit, I can't believe that.
It was crazy. Awesome. Crazy. I love that.
Well, like, if, you know, something like that happened today, I'd pick up on it like 6 weeks beforehand or 5 months beforehand, or who was turning or something
yeah.
like that. But back then, you know, I just didn't even think about it. Although it does explain how they got so much in, why they just led into WCW and they, you know, just couldn't be, you know, just thrown out or something like that. Makes sense.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
All right, keep going on with the show, though.
Okay, let's see, where was the Matrix Canadians beat Bagwell and Scotty Riggs when Jock and Bagwell, when Riggs actually calls Bagwell to butt heads with Louette, and they got the pin, and they were going to, the Major French Canadian going to face Harlem Heat at World War III, and Sister Sherry 5 minutes in the ring with Colonel Parker, Harlem Heat won. Lex Luger beat Hugh Morris via submission with the Torture Rack. And they were promoting Lex Luger and Arn Anderson in Baltimore on Saturday, along with Benoit and Kevin Sullivan in Baltimore. Chris Jericho pinned Johnny Grunge with a missile dropkick. And I think this was when Jericho was going to face Nick Patrick with one arm tied behind his back at the pay-per-view World War III in the next weekend. And Jeff Jarrett defeated Bobby Eaton by submission. And he's going to have a match with the Giant, a rematch of World War III. Big Bubba pinned Jim Powers. I have no idea why this match was on here. And Chris Benoit pinned Eddie Guerrero.
Also, we need to say that Flair said Jarrett could be in the Horseman.
Mm-hmm.
So Flair was a Horseman at this time. There was five of them for some reason.
Yeah, there were four
and,
or five Horsemen. There were five
yes,
four Horsemen.
Yes. There were five four Horsemen, yes. And they showed, and then, like, when this all this was happening, Sting was shown watching, because there's that, like, a little bit of heat between Sting and Jarrett Yeah, probably beat Jim Powers, like, you know, just destroyed him. And Benoit beat Eddie Guerrero. And the closing segment was that Piper segment, which was awesome. That's a go-home show. That really is.
That's a hell of a go-home show.
Yes. So we're at World War III, okay?
And they're still doing this gimmick the next year. I can't believe somebody didn't wise up and decide this fucking thing was a bad idea.
Horrible. Horrible idea. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, Ultimo Dragon beats Rey Mysterio. Awesome match. Awesome match.
I just remember all these fucking title belts he had.
He had, like, it's called the
title belt. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a eight belt. It was awesome.
Which included the WWF Junior Heavyweight title.
Yes, it was.
Kind of funny.
Very funny. Jericho beat Nick Patrick, and Nick Patrick wore the neck brace in the match, but he just beat him, you know, one arm tied behind his back. The Giant beat Jeff Jarrett with chokeslam because Sting came out and he attacked
Jarrett. Yeah, with the reverse DDT.
Yeah. So...
And to mention that John had a bit part in the movie Jingle O. Fuck Hulk Hogan, his movies. John's in a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, Jingle All the Way. It was
that was a hell of a movie,
Hogan.
Too. Did you ever see that movie?
That movie's funny as hell. Sinbad's in it.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's great. I'll probably watch Christmas to celebrate.
You know, Hulk Hogan probably got his pride hurt a little bit on that one. He's making fucking three ninjas in Mega Mountain, and he's in the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. Hey, you go be in the Schwarzenegger movie. I'm going to go ahead and go and be in Santa with Muscles.
Yeah, and while you're there at the Schwarzenegger movie, try to fire that director. See what that gets you.
Yes. All right, Harlem Heat beat the French Canadians. And
awesome finish on that one. When they put the steps on the rope. So they could do the like the cannonball that the Amazing French Canadians were doing. They put the steel steps on the top rope. So we got so much higher in the air that he missed the move and then got beat. But it was a tremendous finish to this match.
They were so good, the French Canadians.
I liked them.
They were awesome.
I loved them as the Quebecers when they were like wrestling the Steiners and stuff like that.
Yeah, they were such a good team.
Yeah.
Malenko beat Psychosis. Just a back and forth match. The Outsiders beat Nasty Boys and Barbarian Ming when Nash pinned Brian Knobbs with a powerbomb.
I love the spot in this match where both Nash and Hall got tagged in. Someone was going to lay down, let the other pin him. And they should have ended the match that way because that would have been awesome.
Yeah, so it would have been. This is the spot where Jerry Sags was getting mad because Nash were skipping him.
Yeah, I think something happened at a house show after this, or he had a concussion and told him not to hit him like with a head or hit him with a chair or something, and so Scott Hall cracked him in the head with a chair. Or he had a neck injury or something. I think this was with like one of Jerry Sags' last matches for many years.
Then they did
a
in-ring segment where Piper brought out that contract. Well, like, the whole NWO just beats the shit out of him and, like, shows off his hip. He has this hip that's all fucking bandaged up. And they made very, very distinct, like, they made it very distinct that Roddy Piper himself designed this contract. Remember this. Roddy Piper made this contract with the WCW World Champion, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
It was him that did it. Hogan signed the contract, so that's the match at Starrcade.
I thought
Hulk
this made
Hogan,
Piper look kind of bad with this whole hip thing, because it just looked like a pathetic old man after they showed off the hip thing and everything, you know.
Yes.
I said, okay, Hulk Hogan's going to fight some dude with one hip. I know it's supposed to be like
Piper's like the underdog and stuff like that, but still made Piper look bad, I thought.
I thought so, too. The Giant won World War III, which I thought helped him a bit. Luger was in there left with, I think it was Kevin Nash, Scott Hall,
and Six,
and Six in the Giant. And he eliminated everybody.
Yeah, it was a tremendous finish. And then he eliminates, he press slams Six out of the ring, clotheslines like Hall and Nash over the top ropes.
Okay.
He clotheslines Hall out. And being the dumbass that he is, he goes and puts Kevin Nash in the fucking torture rack in a battle royal.
Yeah.
And so the Giant just, like, topples both of them over the top rope. And he knew, because the winner of this match was going to get a match for the title. So when Giant did that, I knew he wasn't going to be in the NWO long.
Yes. So he won his title shot.
Yeah.
The next night on Nitro, they announced that the U.S. there's a quarterfinals for the U.S. Championship. Luger wrestled Arn Anderson,
We should mention real quick that the night before in Baltimore, they had the rematch with Kevin Sullivan and Chris Benoit, like a false kind of anywhere match. They showed videotape and they said, well, we knew it was going to go in the bathroom, but Kevin Sullivan had the Dungeon of Doom inside the stalls in the room. When they went in there, they just beat the shit out of Chris Benoit in the bathroom. It was like a big sneak attack. And I remember the next day he came out and he had like black eyes and shit like that, like to beat the shit out of him. It was pretty cool.
Awesome. That's awesome. All right, DDP. Beat Disco Inferno, which Disco hadn't done on TV for a while, sadly. With Diamond Cutter. Gene Okerlund conducted an interview with him. Paige still talking about how he's disappointed that they waited so long to ask him to join the NWO, and said that he's good friends with them, Eric Bischoff's neighbor, and the NWO is like trying to recruit him still. Trying to recruit him.
Yep.
Lord Steven Regal beats Tony Pena, I think. Just a jobber, which is strange to Nitro.
I think there was a knock at Antonio Pena from AAA because I think they had a falling out with WCW at the time, so they did a jobber named Tony Pena.
I wouldn't be shocked by that.
Yeah.
Eddie Guerrero beat Conan in a U.S. Title quarterfinal. Big Bubba beat Rick Steiner after Sting dropped Steiner. Steiner had done the same thing that Jeff Jarrett did.
Kind of doubted Sting. Yeah.
Yeah, so he did the same thing. He did the same thing for the people that doubted him, you know. And Mysterio beat Psychosis, the same finish as Bash at the Beach, 96. Jarrett beat Alex Wright with a figure four, try getting some of that heat back. And then Ming and Barbarian wrestled Harlem Heat, and then NWO beat the shit out of all of them.
Oh, this is the show where Bischoff said that everybody in WCW has 30 days to transfer their contracts over to the NWO or else it's open season on everybody else that's left in WCW. And then that's where Marcus Bagwell came out and joined, and then he hit Scotty Riggs with a neck breaker and turned heel.
Yes. So jobber Mark Bagwell is now a member of the NWO.
Yep.
So angry at this.
This is kind of when they started the downhill, you know, when they would come up here and hear Nitro coming up in a bit, but, you know, we're getting too many shitty guys in there. But
they, the opening of the next Nitro in Dayton, Rick and Scott Steiner come out right at the beginning and say that, like, Scott's like, you know, he considers Sting a friend, but he was there to make sure that Sting didn't lay out his brother like he did the week before.
Yeah.
And Rick Steiner challenged Sting to wrestle him that night. It was, you know, kind of strange because, like, it's always been well known that they're all friends in WCW, like the Steiners and Sting, for years and years and years. All right, Glacier beat Hardbody Harrison. One of the best jobber names in the history of time, Hardbody Harrison.
I wonder if he had any of his cuff to the to his radiator when he was doing the
yeah,
match.
Yeah, while he was wrestling the match. Yeah, possibly. Hard body, I said. Beckers beat Joe Gomez the Renegade. And...
Joe Gomez and the Renegade.
Mika the Barbarian beat... what was it?
Robert Gibson and Scotty Riggs.
Yes. Very, very random.
The Rock and Roll American Males.
Yeah, Rock and Roll American Males. It's definitely that. Malenko beat Billy Kidman. And also Kevin Sullivan just beat a jobber. And Jeff Jarrett beat Big Bubba again. They seem to be wrestling every week. Guerrero
beat
Jarrett had to
get his win back. Jeff Jarrett had to get his win back.
Yes, yes, of course.
Bischoff ended up being Hall and Nash took over the broadcast booth, which I thought was tremendous because they were it was like inside joke after inside joke after inside joke on this commentary team. They were talking about all the other organizations in wrestling. They said like WCW, you got the WWF. What about ECW? He said, well, none of us want to go play bingo or something like that.
That's so funny. So funny.
And this was that time I didn't know a lot of the inside jokes they were telling, you know, because I was still new to this whole insider, you know, wrestling fan thing.
Yeah, so was I. Benoit beat Regal in a tournament match for the U.S. title. And they said that, like, the winner must give a title shot to the Giant. Bischoff said that.
Yeah, they shut this whole match wide because Regal got busted open. So it was like from, like, the wide camera the whole time. And then Scott Hall says, why don't these cameramen start shooting this stuff right? Knowing the guy's bleeding and, you know, you can't get a, at this time on WWE, I guess, you can't get a close-up of any blood. So.
Lex Luger beat Rocco Rock with the torture rack. And then, Sting fought Rick Steiner to a no contest because he just hit him with a baseball bat.
Yeah, he gave him like the baseball bat and turned his back on him and Scott, I think, stopped Rick from hitting him with the bat and
so like it's kind of showing him that like maybe he's not with NWO, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe that's you know, maybe he's not. Then there was a music video on this next Nitro to the song "I Need a Hero" by Bonnie Tyler.
This video was awesome.
Sting. It was awesome.
And I love that song.
Yeah, it is a very good song.
Notice how great video wrestling videos are when you use real music.
Yeah, I know. Well, I even like "Tell Me a Lie," the Shawn Michaels video.
Oh gosh, I admit I like that one too. It was pretty cool.
Tell me your love. Yes, it was great.
It's so gay.
all right, Mike Wallstreet beat Mike Enos. That's how far Mike Enos has fallen down the WCW ladder, and because he was distracted by Ted DiBiase at ringside.
Giving some papers to Michael Wall Street, which makes sense.
Yes, he did, because it's kind of alluding, because they used to be tag partners.
Yep.
And it's funny, because they give Mike Wall Street the first victory in possibly a year, just so he could win one match, so he, you know, like, that's why the NWO signed him, because he's a winner, because he loses every other match. Hugh Morris beat the Renegade. There's this video of this, Benoit and woman.
In a bar, I think, wasn't it?
I thought they were like in like a hotel room or something, just drinking wine.
I can't remember.
I just remember this, like, them drinking wine together and bragging that they were together now and stuff. And And Kevin Sullivan comes out bitching, saying, like, you know, you guys just have to get ratings at the expense of my personal life, which was awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. It's still so depressing to even talk about.
Yes, it is. It's that. Malenko beat Jimmy Graffiti again. Being the Barbarian beat the Nasty Boys. And the Outsiders watched. Jericho beat Bobby Eaton again. A lot of repeat matches because they have these shows to do every week.
Yep.
Arn Anderson beat Pitbull Pittman with a DDT because Mongo hit Pittman with a Halliburton. And he noted that him and Teddy Long had parted ways. he was depressed over that sad breakup. DDP beat Jeff Jarrett. In the U.S. Championship quarterfinals for the U.S. title. And it was because of the interference, you know? And then they left and gave DDP gave the DDP hand sign. And he compared the NWO in an interview with Gene Oakland to a broad that wouldn't leave him alone. And said that no one wanted the U.S. title more than him. And then Rick Steiner fought Scott Norton to a no contest because Piper comes out, sits in a chair, and calls out Hogan. The music begins to play, but only Bischoff comes out. He said he tried keeping Piper out of WCW for his own good, and that Hogan would squash him like a grape. Bischoff was going to leave, but Piper punched him, and then Teddy DiBiase and Hall and Nash came out, and Piper had a chair to hold them off, and then Kevin Green came out to help Roddy Piper fend off the NWO as the show ended, which was, you know, that was cool. That was cool.
I'm back, goddammit.
What?
I said I'm back. Sorry.
Yeah?
My phone got knocked off. My phone went dead or something.
Oh, that stinks. The next Nitro was December 16th. They had Lord Steven Regal wrestle Psychosis. He beat him. Psychosis went from, you know, going after the Cruiserweight title to go after the TV title, failing the both. Chavo Jr. lost to Big Bubba. They had a match between Jericho and Masa Chono, and Chono comes out with Sonny Ono, and Chono has his jacket on. He unzips his jacket and he realizes or reveals an NWO shirt, and then he roughs up Ono and then goes to the ring, and you know ends up being a DQ.
Which I thought that was cool, you know, the NWO going, like, international with the Japan version.
Yes, I thought it was awesome. Dean Malenko wrestles, of all people, David Sammartino and wins.
How random.
An
appearance by David Sammartino.
Yes, it was very random. Ice Train beats Jerry Flynn. Rey Mysterio Jr. beats Bobby Eaton in a match that I've got to see. They announced that Mysterio's going to wrestle Jushin Liger at Starrcade.
Yeah, I thought that was a big deal because he's like to the hottest cruiserweights in the world and like, you know, kind of like a Dynamite Kid in a tiger mask or something.
It was a big one. It really was a big one. Kevin Sullivan beats Arn Anderson after hitting him with Kevin Sullivan, of all people, the only one that uses a wooden chair. A wooden chair.
Well,
and always just like.
Yeah, because it looks good, and it's not going to, I guess it's going to give you that much of a concussion as a real chair would do. I think that's what they need to do in wrestling now. Instead of chairs, steel chairs to the head, just do, like, the wooden chairs. Maybe that'd be safer.
Yeah, maybe it would be.
I don't know.
They had, Rick Steiner comes out, okay? And NWO Sting comes out with a baseball bat, and then the real Sting comes out with a bat, and they both turn their backs on the Steiners, and the real Sting gave the fake Sting the reverse DDT, and then left through the crowd. So, you know, it's kind of saying, like, hey, Sting is with WCW, we think.
Yeah.
This is when mixed matches. It's when like 10 people join the NWO or something.
Yes. Ming and the Barbarian wrestles the Outsiders because Big Bubba comes out, turns on them, and there's a big brawl. Scott Norton joins the NWO. And Sting comes out, but WCW guys go after him first. So then,
yeah, I remember Rey Mysterio jumps on his back.
Yeah, so he's just defending himself.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things because, like, they eventually do this angle where, you know, Michael Wall Street and Big Bubba are no longer allowed to be in NWO. Because their contract, like, you know, Bischoff was taken out of power or something before this. But Scott Norton, for some reason, is allowed to stay in.
Yeah, I know. It's so stupid.
So dumb.
This is when the NWO's looking, I don't know, kind of a little ragged with some of these guys.
Yes. All right. In the go-home show for Starrcade, we have Lex Luger defeating, or Eddie Guerrero beat Benoit in the semifinals of the U.S. title thing.
It's going to be Eddie Guerrero and DDP in the finals.
Yes. Lex Luger defeats Tombstone.
Who's 9-1-1.
Rey Mysterio, yes. 9-1-1, who just debuted. Rey Mysterio defeats JL. Glacier beats Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker. The Quebecers beat Public Enemy by DQ. Big Bubba defeats Conan, because he's with NWO now, of course. Lord Super Regal and Dean Malenko have a 10-minute time limit draw, and only the TV title was at stake. And then Rick Steiner beat Jeff Jarrett, or fought Jeff Jarrett to a no contest, because there was a run-in, I believe.
Yeah, I remember the NWO Sting came in, and then Steiner and Jeff Jarrett just joined forces and started beating the shit out of him. And the show ended, I think, with Hogan and Bischoff were out, and then Piper made another surprise appearance and showed up to hype what I thought was a world title match at Starrcade, but would not end up being so.
Yes, and that was it. That was it. So we're at the biggest show of the year. Akira Hokuto. Ultimo Dragon, who has 8 belts, defeats Dean Malenko to win the title, so now he has 9 belts.
Yeah.
And only Malenko's title was at stake for this match, and they announced that he's going to be defending it against Jushin Liger. Ultimo Dragon will be defending all those belts against Jushin Liger.
Which they promoted this match, so I kind of knew that Liger would be winning.
Yes.
And
they
said it would be for the 8 cruiserweight titles, and so I knew that the titles were kind of going to get split again, and so, you know.
Yes, you had to think that.
Yeah.
Akira Hokuto beats Medusa to be the first WCW Women's Champion, and what's next? What do we have next? Jushin Liger, Rey Mysterio with the Liger Bomb. Hell of a match.
Yeah.
It was really good. Liger was slowing down a lot at this point.
Well, he had just, he'd just come back from a brain tumor.
Yeah, yeah.
He had been diagnosed with brain tumor in, like, I want to say, like, August. And he's already back.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Jeff Jarrett beats Benoit in a no DQ match. When Arn Anderson, who was supportive of Jeff Jarrett, he dropped Jarrett with DDT and rolled him into the ring, but he accidentally put him on top of Benoit, who Kevin Sullivan had come in and broke that wooden chair over his head.
So that was the finish.
Yeah, that was the finish. It was a unique finish, though.
Yeah.
And Mongo was mad at Woman, yelling at Woman, because he said that Woman had made Benoit weak in the knee, which is awesome, like meaning he's been fucking her all the time. It was so great. so there's infighting
which,
in the whole thing.
Which in reality, Deborah wore the pants in his family, so, you know, who is he talking about here?
Yes. Hall and Nash beat Ming and the Barbarian. And that's because Six came out and chased Jimmy Hart away. And they just beat him with a powerbomb, right?
Yep.
And Nick Thatcher, of course, was the referee. All right. Guerrero beat DDP with a frog splash to win the U.S. title. And it was because Hall and Nash come out, and they attacked DDP.
Yeah.
Because DDP had he already turned them down? Yeah, I think that was at the Nitro before this.
Yeah. Well, I think it was
Nitro before this.
Turned him down. It was kind of like he was just insulted being like the seventh guy asked to be in the NWO or something like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and then they brought him a shirt, and he, like, took the shirt and, like, shook their hands and then laid him out with diamond cutters on the Nitro before this.
No, not the Nitro before this. That was the Nitro next year.
Was it?
Yeah. Because he had done nothing to the NWO. I mean, they were still just, you know, jibber-jabbering back and forth about him joining.
But then
he was never sure. So I think this was, like, a wake-up call to get him to join. Which is always, you know, it's a great wake-up call to beat up somebody you want to join your group.
Yes.
Yeah.
They had Lex Luger wrestle the Giant, and the Giant lost the match because Sting leaves the baseball bat and whispers in both of their ears. And so the Giant finally loses this match.
The NWO finally loses the match.
Yes, finally. And this is the Giant's second loss in WCW, second pinfall loss in WCW.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's crazy. And then Piper beats Hulk Hogan in a non-title match with a sleeper. And everybody thinks that he has won the world title.
Yeah. Because they never specified, like, beforehand if this was a title match or not. I mean, well, you figure it's going to be a title match. I mean, it's kind of...
And everybody even says, like, you know, Roddy Piper versus WCW World Champion Hulk Hogan.
And Piper's
Hogan...
that came up with this contract himself. Let's remind everybody of that.
Yes, yes. He came up with the contract himself. Yes, he did. And failed miserably. And then Hogan blames the Giant for dropping the ball and yells at Hall and Nash as well. So this could be the end of the Giant the Giant in the NWO.
Yep, the very next night. Let's run through these real quick. Amazing French Canadian defeated the Public Enemy. Ultima Dragon pinned Jushin Liger. Wow, I forgot that match happened. Conan defeated Michael Wall Street in a Four Corners strap match because he had joined the NWO.
Why? No one knows.
I guess because he had joined the NWO the week before.
Okay.
Hugh Morris beat Kensuke Sasaki by disqualification. Harlem Heat defeated Ming and the Barbarian. So they're knocking Ming and the Barbarian back down. Glacier defeated Disco Inferno because I remember Disco couldn't get the leg hold on him. And Bobby Heenan told him he forgot the blueprints or something to the leg hold, and that's why he lost the match. Chris Benoit defeated Chris Jericho. Octagoncito and Mascarita Sagrada defeated Jorito Estrada and Pertita Morgan. I'm surprised I said those names correctly. They were they were the minis from Mexico. Dean Malenko called Raymond.
They brought them in for Starrcade, the live show.
No, they weren't on Starrcade, were they?
They were at the live show, though. They were part of the show, I think.
Oh, but they weren't on the show.
No.
Okay. Dean Malenko followed Rey Mysterio Jr. to a draw. Had this classic main event of Lex Luger defeating Greg Valentine. And it ended with, Piper came out to celebrate or something, his victory. And then NWO came out and they jumped Piper and one of the Giant to choke slam him and Giant wouldn't do it. So Giant grabs Hogan by the throat and says, am I going to get my title shot? And he says, yeah, just let me go. And he says, well, get him. And then they just, you know, beat the shit out of the Giant. Giant's out of the NWO. They're taking Piper back to the dressing room on a stretcher. He's screaming something in Gaelic nobody can understand. I don't know why he's talking in, I don't know what the deal is. Just some kind of goofy shit. I guess it's always a speak over in Scotland or something. I don't know.
That, my friends, is 1996 WCW. All right, so next week we're back, normal time. We're going to cover 1997 WCW. And, Couture, give them like a 30-second rundown of what we'll probably be talking about next week.
We'll be talking about the first NWO Sold Out, which was a terrible show.
Horrible.
We'll be talking about Roddy Piper coming back to face Hulk Hogan at Super Bowl II. We'll be talking about going into Uncensored 97, probably one of the worst segments of all time, with Roddy Piper picking his team for Uncensored, which one of the all-time worst segments ever. Oh, gosh. So bad. But, yeah, we'll get to all that. You'll probably just get to those three shows and all the Nitros in between, so should be a good time.
Should be a great time. All right, thank you very much, Contreras, and we'll be back next week, normal time. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will see you guys next week. All right, thanks.